So our focus scripture, the one that I'm going to preach about, comes from the fifth stanza, which is hey. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. My Bible study people are probably just a little bit excited because they already know what's coming. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts in your righteousness. Preserve my life. I'm excited about preaching from Psalm 119 because it is so rich. This section of the psalm is under the letter He, the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. In Hebrew, their letters are also their numbers. I guess that makes word problems really complicated. Each letter is also given an illustration. The letter He is depicted as an open window. This verse associated with open window from the Bible is Malachi 3:10, and it gives us a picture of what this open window means. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." So hay is about the blessing of God and God's favor, which is grace. Indeed, this psalm is asking for God's grace in many ways. Windows also represent perspective, new opportunities, and new understandings. When the letter he is put in front of a verb, it denotes causation. That is to say, cause this to happen. So cause me to learn. Cause me to understand. Cause me to obey. In this stanza, each verse begins with the word he. So there is an indication here in this stanza of our dependency upon God. It is not about our effort to try to learn or to try to understand, but rather a dependency upon God to cause our understanding to happen. God causes us to gain knowledge and understanding and empowers us to apply it to our lives, to live in obedience. So the fifth stanza of Psalm 119 is about our dependency on God as we desire to live in God's ways and to understand God, to understand God's word through God's grace. So let's break it down a little. The first two verses, teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees. Give me understanding. The desire of the psalmist's heart is to truly know God's word. And not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. This understanding or revelation, knowing the why as well as the what of God's word. It would be like having a neighbor, and you watch the neighbor and their comings and their goings, and you kind of know the rhythm of their life, and you know what car they drive and different things about your neighbor. But until you go to your neighbor's house and knock on the door and share a cup of coffee, you only really know about your neighbor. Until you have conversation, you can't really know them in the same way. And that's what the psalmist is after, that deeper knowing about God, of God, that relationship. Now, many people say that the Bible is just too hard to understand. And so they give up before they begin. And I agree if you're reading the King James Version, That is a hurdle you don't have to endure, because there are over 35 English translations from simple things like the Good News or the International Children's Bible to more complex like the New American Standard Revised Version. Everything in between, you can find a place, that a Bible that speaks to your heart that you can understand as you read it. So we've lost that excuse. Now, the psalmist believed that God's word could be understood, and in fact, that understanding was the necessary part he needed in order to obey. So he prays, cause me to understand. Give me understanding. This is the desire of his heart, his longing. And this kind of deep knowledge leads to this reverence for God. The more we see the complexity of God in action, the more we revere him or stand in awe of God. And from that, obedience naturally follows. Think of it in terms of a master. Let's suppose that you wanted to learn how to cook. Not a desire in my heart, but let's pretend. So I find a master chef, and I have the master chef teach me his ways in the kitchen, that I might follow the way he works, so that I would become a very good chef. Don't even think about it. It's not gonna happen. He's just grinning like, wouldn't that be a change in my life? But the reality is, I would be foolish to go to a master and then not do what he says and be like, oh, I'm going to chop my onions this way. It would be foolish. And so this is the same thing. This is what the psalmist is desiring. He's like, God, I want to follow your ways. Show them to me. Teach me how to live in this world. And keep in mind, Jesus simplified God's ways. Love God, love people. And so the psalmist is saying, show me how. Teach me your ways that I might follow. This is the deepest longing desire of his heart. And the psalmist tells us, why does he desire this? He desires this so that I may follow to the end, meaning I'll live my whole life for you, and that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. It's an interesting choice of words, because Jesus used that phrase when he said we are to love God with all our heart. Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And Jesus said, John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And so we have love at the core of this psalm. In seeking to understand and obey God's command, the psalmist is expressing his love for God and for God's ways. What is the deep desire of your heart concerning God? Are you content with a needs-based relationship where you call on God in your time of need and, well, ignore him for the rest of the time, except Sunday morning? Or do you desire to know him intimately, where he becomes the very air that you breathe, where he is this all-consuming fire of your heart? That's what the psalmist is after. See, the life of faith that we walk is really about desiring God, seeking after God and God's ways through God's word. It means finding delight in studying God's word. It should not be a chore to open our Bibles and read. But we should find delight in seeking understanding and knowledge through the Spirit to walk in God's ways. Which is why the psalmist says, direct me in the paths of your commands, for there I find delight. Where do you find your delight? Now this walk of faith that we live is in opposition to our fallen state. The fallen state of man is selfishness. You don't have to teach anyone how to be selfish. Just watch a toddler with a toy they want. Somehow we already know how to be that way. And so we must pray for God to cause our heart to be turned away from selfishness toward love. The psalmist knows this and he prays, cause my heart to turn toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. The inclination of the fallen heart is always towards selfish gain. But see, God can turn the human heart. He can purify it. He can make it new. Ezekiel 36:26, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. In the same way, God can focus our eyes to the things in this world that hold value. Luke 11:34 says, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See, the eyes lead the whole person. So we need God to turn our eyes toward better things. And there is nothing better to look upon than Jesus. Paul said in Hebrews 12:1, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Our thoughts are influenced by what we observe, what takes our attention. And Paul gives us more direction. He says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And I will add, look toward those things. Notice them. Give them your attention. Steer your heart toward them. And if you've been paying attention to that list, you will notice that Jesus fulfills every description. There is nothing better to look upon. But what are the worthless things that occupy our attention? What worthless things capture you? What comes to mind for me is the time trap of scrolling on our phones. Now, I'm an adult with some degree of self-control and an awareness of time, and I've been sucked in on occasion. So my heart breaks for our younger people who haven't yet developed self-control or an awareness of time. The hours of their lives they are wasting without even being aware of it. Worthless things. Life-stealing, time-wasting distractions are all around us. It is the enemy's strategy in this age to keep us occupied and not seeking God. We need God to focus our attention, to turn our eyes. No wonder the psalmist says, turn my eyes away from you worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. See, these worthless things will actually be death-giving and not life-giving for us. But God's word gives life. Jesus said, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. John 6:63. The psalmist has recognized the source of life is found in God's word, and it is worth pursuing. Jesus said, I came to give you life in abundance to the full. Have you claimed that life? Do we go after God's word with that same intent purpose of finding true life, finding value and worth? The abundant life is not hidden from us. It is made known to us through God's word. And God will establish his word in us. He will fulfill his promises. We only need to agree and to cooperate with God, like Mary did when the angel gave her this incredible prophecy that she would be the mother of God's son. Her answer was, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Are we willing to say that of God's plan for us? Because the result of that, when we do, is this increased reverence and awe for God and his ways. And reverence will empower obedience. Only God can satisfy the human heart. To know God and understand God's word should be our greatest desire. Psalm 19:9, verse 10. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. They are instruction to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. I encourage you to pray this fifth stanza of Psalm 119, to let it become the desire of your heart to know God and to live according to his ways. May the Lord fill your hearts with joy, your minds with peace, and your lives with gratitude. As you reflect on his goodness and grace, may your hearts be open to his blessing, and may you find joy in his presence always.